1, 2, 3, 4.
Where arts and culture summits the airwaves, this is the Nine Rails Arts Podcast. I'm R. Brandon Long, alongside Todd Obendorfer, and we are the Banyan Collective, arts and adventure podcasting since 2010. This episode includes a discussion with Sarah Meese, project coordinator with Ogden's Business Development Department, who provides a behind-the-scenes history of how a creative district is born. We also party on the porch with Shane Osgathorpe and Scott Rogers of the Nine Rails Arts Podcast house band, The Proper Way. We get some insight into the unique day jobs of two creatives who balance music and successful careers. Oh, it was certainly nice sitting on a porch in the summertime podcasting during the 125th anniversary of the Eccles, the home of the Eccles Community Arts Center. And that's where we got to spend time with our next interviews for the show. We start off with Sarah Meese to get perspective from the city side of how a creative district is born. And so this is our sit down with Sarah Meese.
Well, we are live from the heart of the historic Jefferson Avenue district.
Yeah, doing a porch session on a porch in front of a beautiful house.
I feel that everybody knows where Matt lives. Like, I don't want to give away but where he lives, but he's... Anyway, thank you for offering the porch. All we're missing is, like, lemonade and iced tea and I do declare type of thing. This is a beautiful porch. Yeah, I love it. But we've substituted that with a different beverage.
Sierra Pale Ale and PBR.
Yes, this will be sponsored by them. So thank you very much. Yeah. And joining us today on not just any old day, this is the 125th birthday party for the Eccles Mansion, which is now the Eccles Art Center. And they're just, I say they're all set up, but it starts at 1 o'clock. It goes from 1 to 7. This will be in the past by the time this is all going on. But any voices you hear in the background, we are just off the street from the booths. There's art booths on the corner. There's going to be live music. There is plein air painting, which I believe Matt is judging right now.
Oh, so he's not home to kick us off his porch. Yeah,
exactly. But the main reason we are here today is to talk to Sarah Meese, who we know very, very well. And I think collectively most of the arts community does as well. But our focus today is to get to know the Nine Rails Arts District better than you ever wanted to. We're going to give you details that you never asked for.
So, like, what is it?
I'd say that's probably a good,
we
that's
start
a good
there.
Start.
Yeah, okay.
And then
okay.
I want to actually fill in the blanks even more than that. I want to go back a bit. I've been involved in some capacity for about a year and a half, maybe a little over a year and a half, but this project goes much further back than that. And so that's where I want to fill in some of those blanks.
And if we have time, and if Sarah's willing, we should ask her about her snook skills, which are amazing. Is that, did I say it right?
Yeah.
I'd say
we start with that. That was a really fun day up there.
It was
awesome. Powder Mountain, yeah.
It was way funner than I thought it would be.
I agree. So the snook was it's like a sit ski that you can tour with, and then you build it back together again, and you sit down and ski. It's they can do it in Europe without the regulations of having to stop a ski lift.
Yes.
But when we went to Powder Mountain, they had to stop the ski. Well, Sarah picked up on it really fast. So,
as you do.
Yeah.
I think this is a good time to fully introduce, because I don't know what it is you do exactly.
Good question, Todd. Yeah.
And I don't think anybody does. And so, as far as your official title, and where you work out of and how long you've been doing that, and a little bit of a background on what you do for the city of Ogden.
Well, I work for Ogden City. I'm the Deputy Division Manager for Business Development, which is part of the city's Community and Economic Development Department.
So you are deputized.
I've been deputized. I'm still waiting for the badge.
I'm straight up getting you a badge at some point.
It better be those silver five-star
badges.
It's
going to be one of those big ones.
If it's not tinfoil, I'll be disappointed. So I know you all had a chance to talk with Lori Buckley in Ogden City Arts a few weeks ago. And so arts is another one of the divisions that's under Community and Economic Development. So we're in the same department, but different divisions. The Business Development Division is charged with supporting economic growth in Ogden.
So yours is the sexier division.
I don't know. Depends on who you ask.
Sorry, go on.
But so we focus on business recruitment, which is bringing new businesses to Ogden. We work in business.
The money.
The money, yeah. Mm-hmm. Those are the big sexy deals, right?
Yeah.
Is when you recruit the new company with 800 jobs to Ogden and everybody goes and uses some big scissors at the ribbon cutting.
Mm-hmm. It's all about the big scissors.
It is all about the big scissors.
They store all those in the corner of your office, don't they? All the big scissors.
I wish.
I want to see you open your mail with those giant scissors.
But we also spend a lot of time on business retention and expansion. So that's actually a really important contributor to economic growth in any community, is making sure the businesses that are already here are able to grow and flourish in the community. And then we also do some work with entrepreneurship, so trying to support new and emerging companies in the community. So that's what our division does. I couldn't tell you what the day-to-day looks like because every day is so different. That's one of the best.
That's kind of nice, yeah.
It is. It's one of the best things about the job is that we're a relatively small office, and so we get to work on just an incredible variety of projects, which keeps it interesting and challenging.
So how do you describe, we'll start with the Nine Rails Creative District as it's named now, and then we'll go back a little bit. If you're pitching the idea or describing Nine Rails, how do you describe that?
So the Nine Rails Creative District is meant to create an environment where creative activity can happen. So we're kind of trying to establish an environment that allows creative activity to happen organically and to really flourish in this area. And the way we've talked about that is by making improvements in the public realm where public art and public arts programming can happen. So instead of having to go seek out art at a gallery or a museum, you're going to bump into it just as you go about your day-to-day, as you go about
your
routine.
Like you can't avoid it.
Yeah. It's just there.
Right.
There's no way around it. And then one of our other big goals for the project was to create a better connection between downtown and East Central. So we wanted to take some of the energy that already exists on Lower 25th Street and extend that up into the neighborhood so that it created a connection with some of the amazing things that are happening up here in East Central with the newly remodeled library, the Eccles Community Arts Center that's being celebrated today, and the Jefferson Ave Historic District.
Oh, this is a perfect day exhibiting that exactly, because the farmer's market is on the Lower 25th right now, and there's a bunch of people down there, and then just a block up here is the celebration of the 125th anniversary of the Eccles. So, and this street is blocked off, and there's booths and everything. So now we've engaged two corridors.
Yeah.
And it's fantastic.
And that's exactly what we want to see. So when we started the project, we were already kind of thinking about how 25th Street east of Washington works on like celebration time. So for farmers market, you get a ton of foot traffic going up and down 25th Street. After the Ogden Twilight shows, there's a lot of people that are walking home to the neighborhood on 25th Street. And that's the type of activity we want to have there all the time. And then just the last big thing on the creative district is that we wanted to create more places where creative professionals and artists could live and work. So we already have a lot of great gallery and retail space down on 25th Street. We have some great performing art venues from Good Company Theater to the Egyptian. And we have establishments that are doing lots of arts instruction, like the local artisan collective in the Junction. But we felt there was a need for more workspace, and also we wanted to encourage more people that are engaged in those activities to come and live in this area.
Now, when did you first get involved with this project?
It
goes back.
2014, I want to say.
Yeah. 4 years ago?
4 years ago. That seems right.
4 years? Oh, really?
Yeah.
And did someone bring this up to you? Did you come up with this? Like, where did it originate from?
Yeah, so there are a couple different things that kind of came together. One is that Jake McIntyre with Union Creative Agency, he's from Ogden. He was in graduate school up in Portland, but he was starting to think about what he wanted to do when he was done with school. And so he approached the city and the business development division with this concept of opening a makerspace here in Ogden. So if you don't know what a makerspace is, it's basically like a gym membership where you pay a monthly membership, but instead of getting access to weights, you get access to wood shop, metal shop, lots of other tools and equipment that might be prohibitive for you to get at home or in a private
You've
studio.
You've talked to Thane at some point. That is Thane's description. But
we've been preaching it for a while.
That is exactly where he got it. Yeah, but it's such a good description.
For sure. So we started working with Jake to try to find a location for the makerspace, and he had this really cool concept where it wasn't just a shop space and it wasn't just a place where you could go and use equipment. It was also a place where the creative community would really have a chance to connect and collaborate on projects, and also a place where they could get access to resources. So whether that's access to business support services, like how do you write a business plan? What funding sources should you be going after? That kind of thing. And so we were working with him on that project, and then we were looking at some grant opportunities that could help with that, and we found out around the same time that Weber Arts Council was looking at the same grant opportunity, and they were looking at it for a resource center, basically. So they wanted to create a resource center where artists and creatives could come and get help with grant writing, business support services, all that type of thing. And we kind of looked around and said, we're all trying to do the same thing here. Let's just blend these two projects together and submit a joint grant application, which is a lot more competitive, too, if you can get different partners involved in applying for a grant project. So that turned into what we called at the time the Ogden Arts Hub. So that was kind of a combination of Union's concept for this makerspace and Weber Arts Council concept for a resource center.
And then did you have a geographic plan for where the hub was to be at that time?
We kind of knew we wanted it to be up in this neighborhood. We looked at a lot of different buildings trying to figure out what might be a good fit for it. Originally, we were looking at the old school district building, which is now part of the Imagine Jefferson project. That building was actually originally the vocational arts building for Weber College before Weber State moved up to the Harrison Boulevard campus.
It's got a good history to it. It's got an art history to it. Yeah.
And it's always better, like reuse of old buildings is always better when you can use them for what they were originally built for. And so the fact that that space had been built out as shop space meant that it was pretty well suited to doing a makerspace type concept. But there were some constraints we hit over there, and we were still kind of generally looking between downtown and East Central, looking for a good location for the project. But at the same time, it was starting to kind of broaden out. So we started thinking about, instead of having a single building that supported the arts here in Ogden, maybe we wanted to look at a campus. And then from a campus, it turned into a corridor. And from the corridor, it became the creative district. So it's kind of just been growing outward the whole
time
we've
been working on the
project.
Which is kind of a good way to put it, because I think even though there's a little bit more sort of constraints that you've put in as far as the borders, it will continue to expand.
Exactly.
From there. Exactly. So I like that it started at a space at the little seed, and it's already gotten to this point just 4 years in.
Yeah.
So is that That's a good question though. Is that the intention? Is that because when I've been involved and I've been to some of the prior meetings and public notices, I guess, to see where the district will be, and I could not tell you where the district is, from what street to what street or whatever, because it's sort of a skiwampus district or whatever. So when people ask me where it is, I don't know how to answer necessarily. But are you saying, Todd, that it's going to reach outside of that anyway,
or like to some degree? I think that, and Sarah can probably talk about this, but you know, the way that I describe it is 24th to 26th from Washington to Jefferson, right?
Does that sound about right?
Right. So that's kind of the intensive area that's at the heart of the creative district, and then we have a larger boundary that extends just one block further in each direction. So it's still 24th to 26th, but it reaches down to Grant and then up to Madison. And the idea was that with that larger boundary, we could do some things that would help connect to 25th Street, the Junction, and Washington Boulevard. So that's the boundary that's been designated in the master plan, which was adopted by Ogden City Council last week. Yay.
So this is, it's official. It's adopted. Official. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what does that change mean?
So I think it means that now we're all in agreement that we have a framework to move forward on this project. We all agree what the goals and objectives are for the district. The master plan calls out project priorities in a couple different areas. And so there's some general agreement about, okay, here are the projects we want to move forward with in each of four different categories. And here's kind of how we're going to prioritize or phase those. So that's really important in terms of going after additional grant funding or trying to match city funding sources with those projects.
So what's the next step?
The next step is to start doing stuff. So we've been planning, talking some more.
And who leads that? Is that you?
So it's been really a joint kind of collaborative effort. We've had a great project team with folks from Union Creative Agency. Todd's been participating on behalf of Weber State. We've been working with the Ogden Downtown Alliance. O1 Arts and Scott Patria have been very involved. So we've had kind of an internal project team, and then we've had a steering committee. And that steering committee has been guiding the development of our goals for the project and then also providing a lot of input on the actual master plan document. But we're getting ready to kind of transition that. So all of this work has been done with a grant from the National Endowment for the Arts. And that grant is only for planning purposes. So we were lucky to be able to do some pilot projects with that grant funding. But for the most part, we were doing planning and visioning. So next steps, now we have to take the master plan and actually start working on executing the projects that are prioritized in that plan.
Now's when you start thinking about like kicking the little birdies out of the nest and
yeah, get serious.
Because we've
now
talked about that. This is many years in the making, but now's when the fun kind of starts.
Yeah, yeah, I think so. Everybody has been the most excited about the pilot projects. The planning is super important. It's been really fun, and we've had a great involvement from the arts community on putting that together. But everybody's been so excited. Like, we had Moments Festival as part of this project back in 2017. And to actually be out on the street and being able to observe how the arts can be used to really get people out on the street, get people interacting, get people engaged with art, that was just so cool. And so hopefully we'll be seeing more of that. Same thing with the Painted Streets project. That was one of our other pilot projects. And we had, I think, over 200 volunteers that came out and sat on the hot asphalt and helped us paint these murals.
It was not a cool time of the year.
Yeah. It was a tough time of year.
We were there most of the days, but it was the process that was most memorable to me and to the volunteers both. The results were fantastic, right? But it was every day. It was, you know, working with the initial artist that laid it out in a beautiful paint by number type of thing that we could all go fill in. But I'll always remember one of the evenings we were set up painting, and it was a night that one of the Twilight concerts were going on, people that were living in the Imagine Jefferson apartments in droves were walking by us and talking about the project and talking about the creative district on their way to a concert that was going on down at the amphitheater.
Yeah.
And that just, it was so many things that kind of fell in place. Yeah. And it kind of chokes you up a little bit, you know, especially the more involved you are in these projects. More nights like that.
Yes.
Right. So a day like today where you have choices, that's first of all amazing, right? But the sheer numbers, you know, that are starting to show up on Jefferson, and of course our farmers market, you know, is just fantastic, but it's all right there in the hub. I just can't wait.
And it was so cool too. The other thing I loved about the Painted Streets project is how we were catching people that don't necessarily turn out for arts events, but they live in the neighborhood and they were coming by and they were super excited about what we were doing. So there was one guy that came by, I think every day that we were out there painting, he was just out for his daily walk.
Mm-hmm.
And he liked to come by and give us a hard time and tell us we needed to be working harder.
We disrupted his daily walk, but like in a good way.
I love it.
It's a good disruption.
Yep.
Yeah, and it was just such a cool way for folks to get engaged with art and see these art projects happening in their neighborhood and figure out how they could get involved with that type of project. That was just the best.
What are some things that the city is expecting from the Nine Rails Creative District to see in the future that needs to come to fruition, that those of us helping and running and participating in Nine Rails Creative District can help with or are helping with?
Yeah, so I'm going to answer from the economic development perspective, I guess. So in our business development division, we focus on certain industry clusters. So we know that we have great strengths in aerospace and manufacturing. We know that we've been very successful with outdoor products, especially since the 2002 Olympics were hosted at Snow Basin and at the ice sheet too. I shouldn't leave that out. So
go curling.
Go curling.
Curling's awesome. I love, that's one of my favorite sports to watch.
But so we're really hoping, just as after the Olympics, the community came together and put a lot of focus on developing outdoor recreation amenities and promoting the incredible access that we have to the outdoors here in Ogden, that helped grow our outdoor products industry. And so I think our hope from the economic development perspective is that the creative district will do the same thing for creative industries. Mm. And we define that super broadly. So you could be doing product design out at Envy Composites. You could be a video game designer. You could be a sculptor. We want to make sure we're defining that really broadly. And we just hope that the creative district will help grow and support those industries and those occupations here in Ogden and help that be another catalyst for economic growth.
When did the arts become in vogue with the financial departments of the city? You know, because that, well, it's not always the case,
right? It's a good
question.
No, it's a really good question. So I think it helps in Ogden City. I think it helps that the arts division is part of the community and economic development department. So I think there's already some recognition that the arts are really important to our quality of life as a community and also to our economy. Mm-hmm. I would say there's been a lot more recognition of the arts' importance to economic development probably in the last 10 years or so. There have been a couple articles written about the creative class, and we find that companies across all industries, they're really most interested these days in making sure that they can recruit the right employees to come and work for them. Mm-hmm. And in the past, we've been able to recruit a lot of companies because their employees value access to the outdoors. But we don't want to stop there, right? Because not everybody likes to ski. Not everybody likes to get out and hike.
Which I do not understand this.
But if
that's
probably true,
yeah.
Or even if you do enjoy those things, maybe you're also
the crossover
looking,
is enormous.
Yeah, you're looking for an arts and culture scene. You're trying to figure out what you're going to do on Friday or Saturday night. And so making sure we have that vibrant culture here, too. And I've been blown away by the art scene here in Ogden. I don't have any kind of background in the arts. My whole exposure to the art scene in Ogden has come through this project. And as somebody coming in totally cold, it's just been amazing to see what already exists here.
And it still interests you. That's good.
Yeah. 4 years in.
4 years
I'm still about it.
So, okay. Hashtag arts and adventure.
Oh, that's right.
Arts and adventure.
Yeah. I love it. What are you most excited about for Nine Rails? Like, is there a project that's coming up soon that you're thinking about, or what, you know, what's something personally that you're interested in seeing?
So we do have some big long-term investment heavy projects, like making streetscape improvements on 25th Street.
Okay. So what does that mean?
So streetscape improvements would mean, that everything between the building on one side of the street and a building on the other side of the street would basically be redesigned. So, for example, on 25th Street right now, that's a very wide street.
We have very wide streets.
Fairly fast-moving vehicle traffic. As a pedestrian, you probably don't have that great of an experience. So we're talking about the area between Washington and Adams in particular is what I'm thinking of. There's no landscaping. There's no park strip. The lighting is mostly the big Cobra lights that help provide light for vehicles. But if you're a pedestrian, they don't necessarily do you that much good. And then we also have, this is all changing now, but when we started the project, we had a lot of vacant properties, vacant buildings, and parking lots. So when we look at doing a streetscape improvement project on 25th Street, we've talked a lot about how we can really improve the pedestrian experience and help make that an enjoyable place to walk. Also, that's part of the preferred route for the bus rapid transit project that's going to connect the intermodal center up to Weber State and the hospital. And so that's going to be a great street to provide transit access on. So the streetscape improvements we've talked about would one, make a larger area that's not meant for cars. So we'd have wider sidewalks. The sidewalks would include some landscaped areas. They would include places for art to be displayed or for performances to happen. Things like bike racks, places to sit, cool lighting that actually helps you as a pedestrian feel comfortable. And then a little bit reduced amount of space that helps slow the vehicle traffic.
Which is, I think, the key right there.
Yeah. But I should say, so that's not the project I'm most excited about. I think that's going to make a big difference. But I'm super excited about the stuff that we can do pretty immediately at pretty low cost. So projects like the Painted Streets project, they didn't take that long. They took a tremendous amount of volunteer hours, but they weren't real high dollar amount projects.
Right. But so being a pilot project, we sort of figured that out.
Yeah.
Which, how fun is that? You know, sort of being able, and we're all able to do it. It's nice to be kind of in the, the central decision-making part of it. But at the same point, 200 volunteers shows you that everyone could be involved with these projects. But knowing full well that, theoretically, four-way crosswalk section, we can be done in a weekend, and what a difference that would make for, all future weekends. I love the idea of immediacy, the more things that we can do. It's all about the momentum that's going on right now.
And I really want to see what projects the community proposes, too. Mm-hmm. So one of the things we made sure we didn't do in the master plan is we tried not to be too prescriptive about what type of art happens in the creative district. That's going to have to change over time. We really want that to be driven by the people that are living and working here, and not by the city or not by some committee that's sitting there saying, yes, this art piece, no, that art piece. So I'm really excited to see what types of projects are generated by the community. And we're here to try to help match funding sources to those projects if we can. So there may be some things that don't require a funding source. Maybe they just require a volunteer effort. But yeah, can't wait to see what types of projects and events the community comes up with.
What would you like to see, Brandon? You come from an arts background.
Oh, that's a good question. I think I sent this to you in a text. I'm more interested in throwing art parties, like blending a whole bunch of different kinds
of. Well, we fully support that.
Yeah. Blending different
like
modalities together into one event.
For me, it's more banjo. I just need more banjos.
All the banjos, yeah.
Just in my life in general, yeah.
Art parties and banjos.
Yeah.
Okay, we're on it.
Yeah. I'm pretty easy. Yeah, exactly.
If someone's listening in another town, another city somewhere, and they're like, well, I want an arts district, what's maybe something that you can warn them about? A consideration that maybe, or a stepping stone that you had to go through at the city level, that's something someone listening needs to know before they start on this process?
I would say it really helps if you can get some grant funding. So that made a huge difference in us being able to actually take this on as a project. And then I would say make sure that you have all the different city departments involved, because these things are super cross-cutting. So we had arts, planning, and business development were all really involved in this project. And then we've also had a lot of coordination with divisions like engineering to make sure we're actually painting the street mural in a way that's not going to cause a traffic safety problem. Hmm. So
the questions that not all the artists necessarily, it's going through their head.
For sure, yeah.
That we can't have arrows involved necessarily with some of the pieces and things.
Or slippery paint or something,
colors.
I don't know.
Exactly.
Yeah, nothing that looks like a stop sign.
Yeah.
No stop sign.
That was a big no. But yeah, I think
other art project where you just paint random signs, yield and stop signs in different intersections.
I think probably less support.
Oh, okay.
But there is something to be said for that. And I think that the more the different groups are involved, particularly when it comes to, say, something like the streetscaping, some of this is work that's going to happen anyway, improvements. But how are the improvements going to be done? Maybe we can make it a little bit more creative and thoughtfully done.
So we've talked about that a lot with the Bus Rapid Transit project or the BRT project. So that project is coming. Mm-hmm. It's going to require some improvements. So how can we, now that we have this creative district and master plan established, I think we're in a much better position to lobby for, okay, well, let's make these improvements in a way that incorporate the arts.
No, it's true. And I'll bring in another example. For instance, with the new Monarch building, and Thane has a certain painting budget, marketing budget, some of these things that he has to work with. And he considered on his side, well, what can he do to take that a step further, bringing in some muralists to do, you know, kind of take care of that. And so I like the idea of bringing in creatives at certain points that haven't been taken into account before.
So are you saying the Nine Rails Creative District has influenced the city in other projects too?
Yeah.
Like
I would say
not
so.
Not directly, but that now it's become a thought like, oh, well, here's this other part of town that needs an improvement. Does the arts come to mind?
I would say, you know, so.
Yeah.
So the redevelopment agency has the Adams Ave Community Reinvestment Area, which is a redevelopment project area, and that overlaps with the Creative District. And so now that we have a plan in place for the Creative District, I think that definitely impacts on future projects that will take place in the Adams Ave CRA.
So see, that's a win. Right,
yeah,
there. That's
kind of how I see it. And,
yeah,
and it really does trickle into, you know, I'm on the benches up top, but that doesn't mean that I'm less part of what's going on down here.
Yeah.
You know?
I think the other super exciting part is just to see how things are starting to pick up steam, and it feels like all of a sudden there's a certain critical mass that exists, and it's not something that the city is driving or that the city is leading anymore. So the fact that you guys have a Nine Rails Arts podcast is amazing.
Which we were happy that the plan got approved. I think that was that very night. It's like, okay, we get to keep the name. We're going to move forward with this plan. Yeah. But that was the mass. That was that momentum that was going on even outside of the ultimate, you know, universal council approval. This momentum
things
was already
happening.
Right?
Yeah, and so with projects like the Argo House and the Monarch and the Pando Collective that's over on 26th Street, all of these things just kind of started building on each other, and it's super exciting to see that.
And that's ultimately how things get done.
Yeah.
You know? Sarah, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
I mean, thank you so much for being our friend and supporting what we do. But, you know, I was at the council meeting the other day. You did an incredible job. You know, all the work that you've put into this is like above and beyond. You know, again, it helped that I didn't know exactly what your job was this whole time. But everything you've done is just simply above and beyond. I can't imagine any job description that has required all of the things that you've done. And so it reflects well that you walked here today as well. You know, the fact that you know, you're part of this, you live in the part of this, you know?
Yeah, which is probably why this has been one of the most fun projects I could ever ask to work on. You know, there's so many things that come through your door at the city, and when you have a chance to work on something that you can see making a real impact like this, it's just very rewarding. And yeah. I want to thank you guys for your involvement with the whole project, and Todd, thank you for coming to load the trailer every night when we were painting the street murals.
It's all the little things.
all the little things that make things happen. So.
And it's just starting now. All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Sarah.
Thanks.
All right. So before our next interview, let me tell you a quick little story. So we did this fantastic interview with Sarah Meese. Thank you again for taking some time to sit down with us and chat about the Creative District. And then I went down and I checked out the festivities down at the Eccles Art Center. My intentions were to find Kate or Connie with Weber County Heritage Foundation. As it turned out, I found a few other gentlemen. But that being said, because our paths did not cross this particular time, I would like to share some information about their upcoming house tour fundraiser that's going to focus in Madison Avenue. This is their 41st year. The Weber County Heritage Foundation is presenting its annual Fall Historic House Tour, they're calling Madison, showcasing Ogden's recently designated Nine Rails Creative District. Eight charming historic Ogden homes along or near Madison Avenue are featured Saturday, September 8th, so that's coming up very soon, from 10 to 4 p.m. Homes range from modest cottages to large estates. So they will be checking out your home, Brandon.
Yeah, yeah.
And are loaded with late 1800s and early 1900s charm. I'm assuming yours is a little bit later than that.
But
probably.
This is so cool because you drive by these homes, and if you've ever wanted to see what they look like on the inside, this is your opportunity.
And you don't have much, you know, opportunity to do that legally.
Legally.
Right?
Right.
Proceeds from the 2018 home tour will go towards restoration of the Doughboys statue in the Ogden City Cemetery. I feel like I just need to read straight through that.
I think Doughboy, he gets his, I don't know.
Exactly.
Yeah, it is different. And maybe Doughboy gets his own podcast here in the future because I have no idea what that is.
Just the mystery alone. Rededication celebration is scheduled for November 10th to commemorate the 100th anniversary of the signing of the armistice that ended fighting on the Western Front. Huh. The foundation is an all-volunteer nonprofit organization. Advance sale tickets are $15 per person. Will be sold August 21st to September 7th. So you do have a little bit of time yet to do that at the Eccles Community Art Center, which is at 2580 Jefferson Avenue, or online at Weber County Heritage. Let's try that again. WeberCountyHeritageFoundation.com. Event day tickets, they bump up just a little bit to $20 per person and will be sold at the tour headquarters, which is in the main library on Jefferson. For more information, the public may call Kate Stewart, who is with the Heritage Foundation, at 801-450-6563.
So there I was, just drinking a beer, hanging out on the porch, and you came back with our next guests.
They were easy to find. So it's always good to see.
Were they causing a ruckus?
They were causing a ruckus, I guess you could call it that, but it was a scheduled ruckus.
Yeah.
In this case, they were playing at the birthday celebration. I think that Shane was actually even emceeing the event, so it was nice of him to take a few minutes to do that. And we led them probably with, like, I picture in my head one of those fishing poles with, like, a beer hanging off the end of it. And I walked slowly in front of them.
Yeah, yeah, you did good because they found the porch. And so, yeah, sometimes known as the voice of Ogden, Shane Osgathorpe, along with Scott Rogers.
Voice of Weber State.
They are our Nine Rails Arts podcast house band, the proper way. So we get a little insight into they each have unique day jobs, successful day jobs, and then they balance a music career. So here's our interview with Shane and Scott of the proper way.
Mostly we're just going to thank you for your support through the years. That was it. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, since the beginning, since as far back as I can remember. Yeah,
we could do the Mac on it. All these years, where have I been down the road to work?
Are you recording this already?
I'm still here. Still,
yep. Well, this is all you, Brandon.
Checkity one, check, check one, check two.
All right, so I am walking around the 125th anniversary celebration for the Eccles Mansion, the Eccles Art Center, and these two guys followed me back. And so you understand, if y'all could see this porch, it's pretty nice right now.
This
so we have some cold drinks.
Right,
we have the art booth set out in front of us. It just so happens that they played a set that we missed because we suck. We're over here drinking and not paying attention to the time
I'll
at
admit,
all.
I didn't want to leave the porch. Yeah. Yeah.
But I brought back to the Chaburka porch the our house band, the proper way, Shane Osgathorpe and Scott Rogers, friends forever. It feels like. Yep. And so, like I said, I think this segment's mostly us just thanking you guys for all your support. I like to think it goes back and forth, but it's mostly been you guys loving on us. And so,
oh yeah, we haven't done crap for you guys, I don't think. But
no, you guys had us play. What episode of your podcast of the Banyan Collective, or which one, the Ogden Outdoor Adventure Show? It was your 200th episode or something.
That's right. Yeah,
that was a fun gig.
Is that when we were at the Nature Center?
Yeah.
We should do that again.
I would say you guys gave us something on that one. Yeah, that was cool. Fun playing out there.
Maybe we'll do that again because we were out at the Nature Center last night for the Birds and Brews, and it just reminded me, I don't go out there near enough.
And that venue with the treehouse out there and stuff, that was fantastic.
That was Nature Center giving us some love. So I'll look up and see if they can give us some love again in the future.
We'll celebrate Brandy Bosworth, if you're listening, we need to get back out.
We have some ins. I think collectively can work it out. I think we could celebrate our, like, 328th show.
Or the fifth episode of this one.
Yeah. Yeah, now we can go back and forth. Or we can even tie it in with the van and somehow get the van on location,
there
too.
You go.
Yeah. So I think between the shows, you will... Well, you've now been on all of them. Yeah, I think we got to get you on the literary one. We'll have you read something.
We can do
our
that.
Literature yeah. podcast. I think it's just a matter of time before you're on that. Yeah,
as they all look at the English professor. Yeah, no, every head turns that way. I think Scott could read something for you.
Speaking of which, you ready for the semester? You don't do that. I'm sure you just show up the day of.
Yeah, I just wing it.
Is anything new?
Any
class new this semester? Or
the same? So I wrote a grant with a friend of mine in political science to offer a class on
the representation of politics in film. So we were going to do like the West Wing and House of Cards and, you know, Mr. Smith Goes to Washington and all this kind of, you know, aspirational kind of stuff. And then we got across two sections linked together. We got one student enrolled. And I was like, what's wrong with these people that they don't want to watch TV and come talk about it with a cultural studies person? And a,
tell me they just didn't know about it. What's I think they just didn't know about it.
So we're going to spend a year and advertise it. And so at the, so that didn't make. So they put me on like a composition two class. And then at the last minute, like literally like 4 days ago, a couple of graduate seminars didn't make. So they asked me if I would teach a class at the last minute. So I'm teaching a class on the Man Booker Prize for this year, which is the biggest literary prize in England. Like Schindler's List was a winner of the Man's Book. It was Schindler's Ark was the book.
Oh, that little thing.
Life of Pi was the won the Man Booker Prize.
Another one I may have heard
of. Yeah, it's a, like little books. You know. And so what they do is they do a long list of like, this year it's 13 books. And they winnow that down to like 5 or 6. And so I'll teach the 5 or 6 on the short list. And that list isn't even announced until after the semester has begun. So we won't know what books we're reading until September 20th. And then we won't know the winner until midway through the semester.
I think that's one of the reasons we love you so much is that y'all have layers. You're at the onions, you know. There's so much to you.
I'm going to sit over here and sip a PBR while Scott talks academia
pretty much,
to you guys.
Once we get to you, you're just as interesting as us. When I say just as interesting,
thanks.
I don't mean quite as interesting, but mostly just as interesting.
That's not a totally sincere.
Mostly just as interesting.
But what gets you out of bed, you know, most in the morning? Is it a combination of everything? I was talking to somebody just the other day as far as my own lifestyle being like I'm still just hustling like this and that and the other. I think I got about 4 or 5 things. Legitimate jobs, that would be one thing to some people, and it's just little bits and pieces. And I would say that your lives have a little bit of that.
Yeah, we're multitaskers for sure. it's Saturday right now as this is being recorded. But in the next 2 days, we will play 4 gigs. And so it's a busy
not
weekend.
Including the one you just wrapped
this
up.
This is the first one.
That's the first of 4 this weekend.
And then
weekend.
We're going to drive to Park City later.
We're going
to
play a 4-hour gig in Park City tonight. And then we're doing a fundraiser for Corrine Greenwood. And any arts people in Ogden should know Corrine, but she took a tumble at Slackwater and knocked her teeth out. And
at Slack, that happened?
Yeah.
I didn't catch that part.
Knocked her 2 front teeth out, which is going to require oral surgery. And like any musician, you don't have insurance to cover that stuff. So we're doing a little fundraiser with our friends Danny Weld, and then Brad Wheeler will be there. And
that's this
the Cat
weekend.
Brothers. That's tomorrow afternoon at the Horse.
We'll miss.
Ogden.
We'll follow up on that.
By the time this posts, it'll be too late. But so.
And then after that, we're at the Garage.
At the Garage in Salt Lake tomorrow.
It's one of my favorite places.
It's a great place.
Fried chicken.
Fried chicken.
They have you play inside, outside?
Oh, we'll probably be outside.
We'll be outside tomorrow, I'm sure. Unless
I love
it rains.
That place.
Yeah, because they do acoustic music on Sundays.
We played a gig down there, what was it, 2 years ago?
Yeah.
When the power went out. It was about this time of year. A big storm came through, knocked all the power on Beck Street out, and we ended up playing mariachi style.
Like it blew out while we were in soundcheck.
Yeah, we were soundchecking, the power went out, and so we just took our guitars and banjos and mandolins and walked table to table and just started just jamming.
This is how you roll.
And we played like 3 hours, and the manager finally was like, you guys have to stop because we have to shut this place down.
It's getting dark.
And it's dark, and we can't see.
Yeah.
We can't see you.
The kitchen wasn't working, so it was just drinking. All they could drink was the canned beer out of the refrigerator. They couldn't even pour tap beer, I don't think, or it wasn't staying cold.
Like Brad Wheeler came and sat in with us.
Yeah, it was a fantastic afternoon.
It's the best mariachi
there
band
can't possibly
ever.
Be a question to anybody why we chose y'all. There was nobody else. For the
well,
nine rails,
you guys wanted to be
district,
the very first to have a house band on a podcast. And
I'm
think
not
that you guys are groundbreaking. It's pretty awesome.
I'd say left and right. Most of the time, I like to think we're about 8 years behind on things, but on some areas,
you guys
the
are
house
forward
band,
thinkers.
We're on the curve.
You know what we need to do? What? We need to surprise them with a horn section.
We will.
Okay. See, that's what's great. It's very loose, the guidelines on our side. It's just kind of just show up with the tunes.
Same with us. We play typically on any given night. We'll learn 3 songs on the spot we've never played.
We're playing 2 Guns N' Roses songs tonight that we've never played before.
Yeah,
and we kind of know them.
The Private Party apparently are fans of Guns N' Roses. We're gonna pass off "Knocking on Heaven's Door" as a Guns N' Roses song just because we already know that one. But we're like, yeah, we'll just sing it like Axl Rose.
And Shane's like, how did I never hear "Patience"? He's like, when did this come out? And I'm like. It was a huge hit for them. It was like a big song.
I was living in Europe at the
and
time. That's why I didn't know.
Yeah, he was like, oh, I didn't really have access to pop music when I was...
it's a slightly different
there was a couple of years there where I didn't have access
couple
to pop.
Years on my mission as I drink this PBR.
I didn't know about Patience.
I didn't know about that song. Wow. I'd never heard it until
know,
Scott
right?
played it for
like,
me.
I'm sitting there like, how do you not know this song? Everybody knows
that was one of the ones I like.
That's one of like... That's the one that I like. That's one of the one I like.
So Shane, let's get to know you just a little bit better. I think for the most part, people know you as a, what have I heard? I've heard all sorts of things. I've even heard like a Mr.
The voice
Ogden.
Of Ogden.
Who came up with Mr. Ogden? Was that?
Voice of Ogden is, I think the Goal Foundation pinned that one on me. I think Jenny Scothern at the Goal Foundation pinned that title on me.
Because you've been doing that for years.
Yeah, marathon announcing, and like the, when the Xterra Pan Am Championships are in town, I'll announce for that.
Because that's one where, for years, Brandon does the, I don't know what's the nicest way to put it. So you have like sort of the ass end and you have the head.
Yeah, he's the start line, I'm the finish line.
That's true. That's true.
I got so the, you probably get
that's,
up
that's right.
A little
I have the ass
morning.
End. That's a good description. Shane's the ass end of the marathon.
But you, it means that you probably just get up a little bit later in the day.
Pretty much. I have to load the buses to send up to Brandon.
Yeah.
So I'm there announcing at 4 a.m.
Probably just the same time as well.
And then the day before, we were mixing all the music.
Yeah, making music for it. It's a
I was wondering
day.
When you did the day before.
Pretty yeah, like everything yeah, I do, it's yeah, the day before. Yeah.
And then, do you still have a regular gig?
Yeah, I'm at Visit Ogden. I'm the marketing director for
Visit Ogden. Yep. For Visit Ogden. So that's good. I mean, I assume that nothing had changed there. So
it's a weird job in town because our directive is to market to out of state people. So people in town have no idea what we do because our budget is stipulated. We have to spend it out of state. So we make all these great things that everyone in the rest of the world sees, but no one in Ogden ever sees. And so when we say Visit Ogden, like, what do you guys do? You know, they don't, because we don't have a face forward that anyone can see. So,
well, the Instagram is pretty big and well followed here.
That's
in town,
that's Sydney Furtin, man. Sydney Furtin is an animal on Instagram. She's really good at that. So she, I'm the Facebook guy, which is why we'll go five
it's
days
you,
at a time
you
without
the
a post.
MySpace page. Yeah,
exactly. I run the MySpace page.
Just when you upgrade, go Friendster's next.
Friendster. Yeah, exactly. Talking about being 8 years behind. Right?
Shane did have the interesting experience of hearing his own voice on a radio spot on Pandora.
Yeah.
While we were on the road.
Something you remember doing?
Yeah, so we recorded a Pandora spot to advertise Ogden with the stipulation it play out of state, so I never get to hear it once it goes away. And I walked into a shop, which shall remain unnamed, in Colorado, and I'm standing there and I hear my own voice coming back at me. I'm like, that's me talking. And they were running Pandora through the store's sound system, and I'm like, that's me. It freaked me out. It was a little bit of a mind
See,
melt for me.
See, look at your reach. Yeah. No surprise to the rest of
how
us.
Far, how far away is Ogden marketing?
Oh, all over. We target the Southern California area a lot, but Chicago, Boston, New York, Philadelphia.
So you are back east. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Orlando's a big market for us. Texas is getting bigger all the time. So, yeah.
Now tell me, so initiatives like the Nine Rose Creative District, obviously that we're involved with for this particular podcast, that's kind of helping things out a little bit, right?
Absolutely. There's a lot of destination travelers that look for arts communities to go to. And so to have that in our quiver is going to be huge. We will be recognized.
You'll be able
more
to sell
more.
The arts and adventure.
Oh,
both.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's like, cause that is a reason people travel, like foodie travels became a big thing for a long time. Now it's like agritourism. It's like you want to go to the farm where your Brussels sprouts are raised. And there's a lot of creative tourism, arts tourism that people will just visit different arts communities and check out the galleries and the shops and the, you know, so it's going to be a huge arrow in our quiver, I think.
Kind of take us through, try to make it a little more glamorous than it probably is, like a typical
the rock star life of travel marketing.
Yeah. Yeah. Take us through the last interesting, like one that really stood out.
There's your Instagram series of alleys and loading bays that we've loaded into.
Yeah, that's the Proper Ways Instagram account. Every time we load out into a nasty alleyway, we take
a picture
of it.
You're finding your niche. I love that.
Yeah,
that's
it's
great.
Like it's all part of my rock and roll fantasy. Like the dive motel we stayed in Winnemucca on our way to Tahoe. I think it was the hotel from My Name is Earl.
Or the garbage bay at Snowbird.
Yeah.
That one's nice.
And in our studio, there's typically a homeless guy sleeping on the steps of our studio. So when we load in at night, we'll throw him $5 to help us load our shit into this our stuff
not,
into the studio.
He's not joking. Like, that's not a joke.
No, he's got to earn that $5. Yeah.
And they're always like super nice.
I love your
nice.
Team.
Like these guys are always like crazy nice.
Yeah, they're great.
Well, we love what you do. I don't see any, you know, slowing down at all. In
we
fact, does
not.
It seem like you're just picking up more gigs?
Yeah. Yeah, well, 4 in 2 days, that's a nice load to carry.
Yeah, that seems like the norm these
days.
Yeah,
I walked out of the office on Friday, and everyone's like, have a great weekend. I'm like, what do you mean? I'm working my ass off this weekend. It's 4 gigs in 2 days. That's a lot of work. So.
My wife all morning was like, it's Saturday. And I was like, this is what happens when I don't have a gig on Friday. Like,
yeah.
You get confused about what day of the week it is.
Oh, that's funny.
But is the long term, can you see 5 years from now, 10 years from now, still a little bit of a balance between the music and the day job?
Yeah.
Scott's got the killer day job, as you can tell by the top of the podcast.
I love school starts on Monday, and he's like, we're good.
Yeah. He doesn't seem too concerned.
It's one of those, in this line of work, if we're calling it that, it's like, you come to a point where you almost have to make a decision. Like, are we just going to keep doing this kind of one foot in one world and one foot in the other, or are we going to put both feet in one? You know what I mean? So it's, we're to that point. We started jokingly kicking around the idea of like the tan van,
yeah,
but a little bit nicer. No offense to the tan van, but
that's what everybody says.
Almost, earmuffs, yeah. Tan van earmuffs.
Yeah, exactly. It's like some kind of road rig that you could actually sleep in. You could go, because we're starting to get pulled further all the time. So we're getting pulled out to Tahoe regularly now. Colorado's now starting to bring us. We'll be going back to Colorado in October. Beginning of October.
I think a proper way sprinter would be great.
I think it would be fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You guys have the opposite problem though of a lot of young musicians who work part-time jobs and can barely pay the bills, and where you have careers.
Yeah.
Career, I mean, and good, you know, well-paid-ish, you know, careers. And then
let's just move on.
Yeah. Tell Sarah Tolliver Eddie to raise. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Sarah, assistant. And then you have the music on the side. And so what does that do in terms of, I mean, you're not like 25 either, right?
That's
so
true.
Yeah. So what does that do in terms of like the hustle on the music end, where you're just sort of relaxed and taking it as it comes?
I think basically he's just asking, you know, what's it like to be an old musician?
Yeah. Like, there's never going to be a VH1 Behind the Music about the proper way. You know,
I would watch that in a heartbeat. It's,
Drugs take their toll on the proper way.
But the drugs are like Sudafed.
Geritol.
Ambien. One too
up
many
next,
Ambien.
The proper way discovers Geritol Silver and hits the road again.
But I think in terms of being an older man, like you don't have the illusions. Like, I don't have any of the illusions that I did when
we're
I was...
We're not looking to make the big
when
break.
I was 18 or 19 years old and playing in, you know, bar band, you know, touring all over the Southeast. You know, we harbored some sort of, you know, illusion.
The right guy's going to discover us.
The right A&R guy was going to hear us at, you know, the library. No, what was that place? The
Pooch.
The Varsity in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
The Chug Suckle.
If you're not following Rigs of Dad.
Are you making these up?
No, if you're not following Rigs of Dad on Instagram or Facebook, you are missing out.
Rigs of Dad is probably the greatest thing out there in social media now. Rigs of Dad.
But yeah, we just like, you know, we play these gigs and we try to get together on Sundays and write songs and try to sell them. We just finished up this project with Carrie Myers, the Tom Waits and Bob Dylan tunes, and we're just waiting on the artwork for that, and we're going to publish, and it's out in the world.
And from an artistic standpoint, it's really cool because we don't have that delusion that some A&R guy is going to be at the garage on Sunday night. We can just enjoy what we're doing a lot more. And with our personal stuff that we write, our originals, we don't have to think, are we going to make it with this? It's like, we can just enjoy the process of writing it and recording it and doing it.
And we don't even have to worry about, like, how are we going to reproduce this live, because we can't.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, no, the stuff that we record sounds nothing like us.
But looking back, knowing what you know now, would you change anything? Would you tell your 25-year-old self anything different? Pretty content with your path?
The thing I tell my students all the time, because they'll say, like, I want to go to graduate school or whatever, and I always tell them that, like, the biggest decision I ever had to make in my life was whether I wanted to be a professional musician or an academic. And if somebody had pulled me aside and told me what the odds were of getting a job as an academic, I probably would have been a professional musician, because the odds of being able to make a living doing that are better than getting a job as an academic.
That's a really good point.
It's
an
insanely terrible job market, especially in my field, in English and philosophy and history. The humanities, typically, they've been overproducing PhDs for 20-something years, and because it's a good revenue stream for these graduate programs. And so, I'm trying to think of for instance, I applied for a job at Ohio State when I went on the market in 2003. I applied for probably 30 jobs, and I applied for one at Ohio State, and somebody there knew my director, and they called her, and they're like, hey, he's not what we're looking for. And they were looking for not just I'm an 18th and 19th century British literature specialist, but they were not looking just for that. They were looking for an 18th and 19th century nonfiction prose specialist. So, like, people who wrote magazine articles.
You were so close.
Yeah. And that's, and I thought, that and I thought, well, she's like a Ruskin scholar, and, you know, maybe I can slide this in. They call her to tell her that I wasn't what they were looking for. And she said, well, how many applicants did you get? And they said, 400. Oh. And she said, no, how many qualified? And qualified, she means PhD in hand, or PhD in hand by the time they'll get the job, and the degree in the right subfield. And they said 400.
That was after they'd cut them. They probably got 600 or 800 applicants for one job. And that story just repeats itself over and over again. I've been on so many hiring committees at Weber State where, you know, we get 100 applicants for one job. You know, I mean, the job market's terrible.
Tourism and marketing's not quite the same.
Yeah.
Diamond dozen.
So I tell my students, like, you're going to get $100,000 in debt. It's going to take you 8 years, and there's no job. That's my brother.
He's so, out of D.C. I think he's going on 10 years adjunct, I think.
Yeah, and that's $10,000 a year doing it because you like it, you know, and I wasn't willing to do that. So if somebody pulled me aside and told me that, I probably would have said, like, I should be a professional musician.
Well, I'm going to give up the academic career now, then. I'm going to be a pro podcaster.
Right.
That's what this is.
Right. Yeah. That's so, where the money's
so this
at.
Is, so this is, money. Yeah, but so this is by way of saying, like, I'm the luckiest human being in the world. Like I get to do these two things that I really love doing more than anything in the world.
That is a really good point. You're very lucky.
I'm incredibly lucky, and that my wife got a job in this, or she's the one who got the job. I'm what they call a trailing spouse. They hired both of us in the same department. Like that just doesn't happen. And so we're like, well, I'm never going anywhere, man. This is
no. But you ask what we would tell our kids. Like my 16-year-old son texted me a song he wrote yesterday. And I listened to it, and I was like, okay, at 16, absolutely, chase that for a minute. See where it takes you. At my age, it's like, yeah, no. Ain't nobody going to be discovering the proper way, you know, these two mid-40s, late 40s guys, you know. So as a young buck, I'd say, absolutely, pursue your passion, go for it. But we're in a little different boat, so.
Yeah.
I love how incredibly similar the four of us are in the different things that we do.
Yeah.
As far as the age, the splitting our time between the two different passions, and the fact that we're pretty content. You know, I think some of us might be a little bit more drawn to one area than the rest, but for the most part, it's just keeping that balance. And then it's these moments.
Oh, absolutely.
We're on a beautiful historic
on a Chaburka porch.
We got some cold beers.
Chaburka porch. All one word, Chaburka porch.
Chaburka porch, yeah, exactly. It's all about these moments. Thanks for being part of it. Thanks for inviting us into your world. Thanks for being part of ours.
Absolutely.
We do need some new music soon.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. There's the ask right there. Yeah.
We know a couple guys with a studio that can take care of that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I look forward to everything that comes out.
Cheers, fellas. It's been awesome. Thanks.
Awesome. Cheers. I already drank my beer.
There's probably another one in the cooler.
I hope we can find another one. Yeah. You guys have a good afternoon.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks.
Yeah, never a dull moment with The Proper Way, who did play a band session set in the past.
And I believe we'll be seeing them again.
Hopefully soon, yes, yeah. On this season. So this season, meaning this kicks this next season, which is season 5, starts September 7th. The First Friday Arts Stroll kicks off September 7th. So that will be our next band sessions. And we are moving locations. We enjoyed our time down at the Ogden Union Station on the Plaza, but we will now be up in the Monarch's upper parking lot, which we are, our nickname for the parking lot is The Garden.
We're calling it The Garden.
Calling it The Garden.
It will, I mean, this is a work in progress, this Monarch building, so we'll be sharing the space with probably trailers and hard hats and all that.
Yeah, still on 25th Street, and you do not need to wear a hard hat to come watch band
sessions.
Not
in our space. The building will be locked up. They are still doing tours. In fact, I'm sure he'll be doing some pre-van sessions that night if anybody's interested.
So it is the epicenter of the Nine Rails Creative District. The first band kicks off at 7 o'clock. We have a 7, 8, and a 9 o'clock scheduled, so come by. Come check us out. This is a new location. You're going to love it. It'll be fun.
And if this is your first van session, it's typically how this works. And that's the greatest part is you never really know what's going to happen.
We don't know. So,
so we lure musicians or bands into the van. Just that alone, that's sort
we
of the
keep
setup for
candy
things.
In the van for these
the
reasons.
Good candy, though. It's like the good candy when you're trick-or-treating.
Hard candy?
You go to the house, it's like the full-size candy bars is what I'm telling you.
Yeah,
yeah. And we have them play 4 songs, and we get to know them between songs. And so it is also a live event if you bring down some chairs, and then if you're not able to make it, it is podcast, and you can listen to it later.
It's free. It's absolutely free, so come check it out. That's it. Put a bow on it. It's a wrap for episode 3 of the Nine Rails podcast produced by the Banyan Collective, arts and adventure podcasting since 2010. Follow the Nine Rails Arts podcast on Facebook. Also, we're on Instagram at the number 9 for Nine Rails. And search the Banyan Collective on iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify. So, speaking of van sessions, we'll leave you this week with something from the van sessions archives. This is the Reverend and the Revelry.
This tune's called The Feather Bed. I actually wanted to write a song that was more me just speaking about characters that weren't me. And so this is a hypothetical situation of two people who shouldn't be in love, but they are because of what life has, you know, driven them to. So it's The Feather Bed. From your bedroom window, watching me go, down the driveway, but your man will be home, drunk as always. Pass out in pain. Here, what does it all mean? Yeah, it's here, bound to smoke screen. Got my own flame burning, in a home she waits, we've been steady learning, that love's late to wait. Nobody's runner up, but I stay there for the kids. And here, what does it all mean? Yeah, it's here, bound to smoke screen. Should be long, long gone.
I can't seem to pass up on your feather bed. No, I can't seem to pass up on your.